WTBN Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, September 10th. It's a lovely 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today, as usual, we have our continued interrogation of religions, right? With Uncle Sarah, Dr. Cleveland Inius III. Dr. Inius is late at this present time, so I'm waiting on him, right? We have a interesting topic we're going to be discussing today. We're going to be discussing sex out of season. And now, when the concept and the theory came up with, and they said, "My sex is sex, man. You can't have sex out of season. You just have sex, right?" And the idea that this is a religious concept, right? And he's speaking about spirituality. I said, I am prepared to have a conversation about it because he's going to explain that to me on what you mean that we can have sex out of season, right? Which will result in some kind of catastrophe. So that's what we're going to be having a conversation about as soon as he reaches in. But before then, I want to read this, right? If you have a Japanese import vehicle, right, and you're no longer able to listen to radio news, talk, and music content on Guardian Radio, you can go to the Hitspot, right? You can go to Hitspot because they are offering a $79.99 special. That's less than $80, right? Which is including VAT for a band extended equipment and installation during the entire month of September. During the entire month of September, you can go to the Hitspot. That the Hitspot is located on Village Road, and they're doing that band extender installation for merely $79.99 for the entire month of September. And that's actually, this is a discounted price. If you definitely mention this ad and you get that $79.99 discount in order to get that band extender. I'm not sure if you noticed that during the commercial, Guardian Radio has a new slate of talk radio personalities coming on, right? I'm kind of excited about that. Said, it'll be a September to remember on Guardian Radio in part one of fall premiere week. This Tuesday night, tonight, that's tonight at 6:30 p.m. She's supposed to be on my show today, right, to explain what is this happening at 6:30, but she didn't make it, but that's okay. This Tuesday night, tonight at 6:30 p.m., the debut of Kenny's Corner with Kennedy Campbell Moss, right? We're familiar with Kennedy Campbell Moss. She had a show here where she talked all kinds of things. Some things I said, my God, that's spicy, eh? And so she's going to be having her debut at 6:30 p.m. So tune in right after the 6 p.m. news for thrilling, provocative adult. Tune in right after the 6 p.m. news for thrilling, provocative, adult conversation. Kenny's Corner beginning September 10th, tonight on Guardian Radio. So that's tonight. And like I say, if you're familiar with Kendanique's show before, you can imagine the type of conversations. I'm going to push that word, provocative adult conversations that is going to be happening tonight at 6:30 tonight at Tuesday, right? It's going to be every Tuesday. And then again on Thursday night, September 12th at 6:30. So she has it two times a week. It's going to be Tuesday and Thursday at 6:30. Then join Debbie Deal and Leonard Sands with the Bohemian Contractors Association for Nail It. And again, that's Debbie Deal and Leonard Sands with the Bohemian Contractors Association for Nailed It, which is going to be premiering on Thursday. Issues dealing with contractors, construction, and the bill community, for contractors, for consumers, for everyone. Nail it, beginning Thursday, September 12th. That's one started September 10th with Kenny's Corner, and then the other starting September 12th. September 10th and September 12th on Guardian Radio 4, Nail It with the Contractors Association, right? And there's more in part two or four premiere week next week. Stay tuned. I also want to give big shout out to Garth Roseborough, who's a fixture on the Howard, Call Me Howard show with Howard Grant. Garth Roseborough will have his own show called The Remark, and he's starting on September 15th. All kind of shows happening on Guardian Radio. My guest is coming up now. I have a good person downstairs who manned that concierge desk. And she's mentioned that Uncle Sarah is coming upstairs right now that we continue. But I'm excited about all the shows that are coming on stream in September. That's the Kenny's Corner. That's Nail It. And, of course, that's The Remark. The Remark is going to be a Sunday show. Kenny's Corner will be twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, of course, the Nailed It by the Contractors Association is going to be Thursday night at... Hold on, let me make sure I'm right there. Thursday? Do you have any issues? Yes, Thursday at night at 6:30 p.m. So I'm kind of excited. Oh, found it. See, they correct me. The Foundation has for Howard, not the Help Me Howard show. The Foundation. Okay. Yes. And that comes on after 12 o'clock after me, right? But Garth has his show that he has his own show now. In general, Garth tends to be provocative. So it should be interesting to see how that show comes about, right? Uncle, that's your wife? Mm-hmm. You bring her inside. She ain't want to come inside? But I see her. What should be she didn't come inside? I didn't see her. We talking about sex out of she didn't want to talk about the sex out of thing. Okay, no problem. I know if my wife was talking sex out of season, if I was talking about it, my wife coming inside. But welcome again, Uncle Sarah. I appreciate you making time to come in here. Make sure Uncle's mic is up for me. We have a number of shows that's coming on stream for September. We're kind of excited about on Guardian Talk Radio about that, so I just want to premiere that. But today's topic is kind of different for me, especially inside a religious theme, because the topic is sex out of season. Let me make sure I'm saying that. And the mic still isn't on there, Kermit. Make sure to come. Test it again there.
One, two. Okay.
There you go. Right? So I'll ask you, Reverend Ineas, Pastor Ineas, is it possible to have sex out of season? And what do you mean by that, sex out of season?
Well, first of all, good morning. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Ineas III of Sarah. It is a pleasure to be here once again on another beautiful Tuesday. Sex out of season. Let's understand that sex, we in the Holy Coptic Church, we look at sex, the word itself, as an acronym, S-E-X, Sacred Energy Exchange. All right, that's the first thing I want us to be aware of, Sacred Energy Exchange.
So you're saying sex is just not sex, it's energy being exchanged?
It is energy being exchanged, and sex is not always intercourse. So... you can have sacred energy exchange in different ways, right? We won't get into all of that today. But anytime people are ultimately conversating or in any way exchanging ideas, exchanging, you know, this idea of energies, that's a form, that's a broad term on what sexual energy is. Sexual energy doesn't necessarily only mean between a man and a woman, per se. And I'm not talking homosexuality or anything like that. I'm talking about the fact that as sentient beings, we interact with each other and we give off energies and we receive energies, all right? When it comes to this idea of sex, we have what is called natural sexual union, which is a prescribed way of utilizing this energy exchange, all right, where a man and a woman is coming together to have intercourse. And in having intercourse, they are building up energies that they can then use to not only create a child, but they could create a business. They could build a house. They could clean the house. They can clean the yard, right? The energy that's being built between these people coming together, if it is not utilized in a constructive way, will actually turn back on the couple, whereby within 24 to 48 hours, they're having an argument. They're trying to figure out why these two people who are in this passionate moment only a day or two ago now are at odds end, at each other's throat, because we didn't understand that there are universal laws that are at play. There are forces that are at play that if we don't understand how to work with these forces, they can actually become adverse forces.
You mentioned forces. I do not understand what you're trying to say. See, I grew up with superstitions, right? Mm-hmm. I can remember a conversation with my mother with saying that you have to be careful who you lay with because of energy transferring, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of, especially superstition in terms of demons and whatever it is. Are you talking about transferring of demons, or this is a different concept?
That's one aspect of it. Because remember, previous shows, we talked about the reality of demons being, or the devil or Satan being viruses, bacteria, and germs. This is how we originally looked at these adverse forces as viruses, bacteria, and germs. And one of the ways that they can be passed on is through this sexual. And this is one of the ways they utilize the bodies of individuals who are unaware of them to be able to pass on. This is why you have pass on these energies. This is why you have, we're in such a sexually heightened environment where everything sex sells. So if we're selling food, if we're selling cars, if we're selling an idea, there's some way, shape, or form sex is being attached to it. And if you don't understand how these energies ultimately operate, it is a conduit, or it is a way for certain viruses, bacteria, and germs to be transferred, not only physically, but also spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. You have different forms of energies that can be passed on.
Apparently, it's a thing, because there's a word called transmute, okay, right? Mm-hmm. And the meaning of the word transmute is, in simple language, the changing or transferring of one's element or one's form of energy to another. And you're trying to say that energy is being transferred through copulation?
Definitely. There's energy being transferred through copulation. This is why when a couple is together for an extended period of time, people start saying, you all look like brother and sister, right? You all have similar personality traits because you're exchanging these energies. And scientifically speaking, right, when a male ejaculates into a female, his DNA is always with her. When a male lays with a female, her spirit is always with him. You're going to take a part of each other forever when you lay with a person, all right? This is biological facts in terms of them finding the actual DNA of men that women have laid with, that have ejaculated on their DNA in the brain and in different parts of the body, because the two become one.
Say that again. what you saying?
When two people lay together, they're exchanging fluids, all right? They're also exchanging wind, you're breathing, right? You're thrusting, you're creating friction and heat. All of these are different forces, or the result of forces. All right. What scientists have found is that when a man ejaculates into a woman, that sperm becomes a part of her. The DNA, the chromosome.
It becomes a part of her?
Yes. Yes.
And you say it stays with her? It
stays with her.
For how long?
Forever.
Like, what you mean forever?
The energy doesn't stay forever, but the actual DNA combines, becomes a part of her genome.
She absorbs the man.
She absorbs the man. Now, that happens the opposite way in the male. We pick up on the characteristics of the women that we lay with as men.
we get feminine energy?
Not feminine energy. When you say spirit, you're really talking about personality. You're talking about personality traits.
What kind of personality traits I can get from a woman?
Well, let's look at the fact that if a person is casual about their sexual habits, male or female, what we often find, and this is part of the reason why in today's society, people's behavior appears to be unpredictable. All right? Oftentimes, people who are predictable, people who don't have a lot of drama, people who are, lives are considered boring, right? These are people who are usually staying in their lane and usually not casual about exchanging energy with every and anybody, right? But these people are very predictable. This goes back. Let's step out of the realm of human beings for a second, and let's look at dogs, right? When you talk about pedigree dogs, the pedigree dogs are the dogs that are predictable, and the way that they are kept, or their characteristics are kept predictable, is by eugenics, is by making sure that the breed is not compromised. So if I bring my pot cake and say, boy, this is a nice pit bull, eh? You think I can make my pit bull, my pot cake with your pit bull? They can run me. Man, you can't bring this little pot cake to come breed with my pit bull or my pure breed, Labrador, whatever the breed is, right? They want to keep this seed pure. They want to keep the predictability, the pedigree pure. I say that biblically now, if we just move into the biblical aspect. You are two groups of angels that came in unto or took the daughters of men. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, in verse 2, you have one group, the first group, that comes in and they take the daughters of men. All right? And they have these children and they have these giants. And then you have another group in verse 4 who they say came in unto the daughters of men, which means they would have utilized natural sexual union. They would have utilized the binding of the two flesh, what we call marriage today. In the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 9, it says that those who, and I'm paraphrasing, those who come before the Lord without blunder, right? This is something that's said in weddings often.
What if I stop you and say, angels do not have no sex organs? How can they procreate?
Well, you
then. But the Bible said they procreate. So, I mean, and then the Bible said that they only had Adam and Eve and they had all kind of children. But things, some things just ain't got explained.
Well, Hebrews 13 talks about entertaining angels unaware. Right, you're entertaining physical beings who do have the ability to procreate. These sons of God who came down in Genesis chapter 6, they would have been considered angels. They were messengers. They had a message. One group had a message of "Do as thou wilt." Today they call it humanism. All right, or some would even refer to it as Satanism. Right, and another group had the message of following the universal laws and following the laws of the Most High Heavenly One. So these were two groups, and they manifested. When you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it talks about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Seed, the word seed there in Hebrew is zera. All right, that's zera. When you go to the Greek, is the word sperma, which becomes the word sperm in English. So these angels did have sperm. These angels did have wombs.
Does that explain when Gabriel come to all these women? They just happen to get pregnant when he come and visit.
But they say he came in unto Mary. The same verbiage is used.
I understand. We ain't gonna go there, but go ahead, finish.
So, but we really want to talk about this idea of sex in season, right?
Yes.
So,
let's explain that first. What do you mean by sex in season and sex out of season?
When in nature, let's just look in nature. When you have a environment that has a window of opportunity for there to be food, where usually spring and summer is when you have the opportunity to have food. So in places where it gets really cold, where the leaves are going to fall and animals are going to hibernate, etc., the animals in those environments ideally will have their offspring in a time when there is abundance of food. So you will have, they will procreate in the fall. They will be pregnant through the winter, and then by spring they're giving birth,
mm-hmm.
whereby they are having sex in due season. And so far as this offspring has a better chance of survival because there's more food around, versus an animal who chooses to have a child, or offspring rather, in the winter months or in the fall months when animals are now beginning to hibernate and when food is more scarce, that particular offspring is going to have the chances of it surviving going to be less.
Wait, right? So you're saying if a child born in a particular month?
So I'm saying I'm explaining where it's coming from. When we were in societies or cultures that had periods of drought or had periods like today it's harder to see because there's always food around.
Mm-hmm.
But even when we say that there's always food around, a fruit in the food store that is seasonal. Let's look at mangoes, for example, right? Mangoes we know are seasonal. Excuse me, they are seasonal. But you can find mangoes basically year-round depending on where you go, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mango that is sweeter than the mango that you would get out of season.
Okay.
Right? I think we could agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So there is in agriculture what they would refer to as force ripening. You could force ripe a fruit. You could do things to have that fruit available out of season for capitalistic reasons because you want to make money off of it, right? But when you study or understand the reality of a fruit being produced out of season, the quality of it is not the same. It doesn't have the same sweetness and it doesn't have the same nutritional value, all right? Now, that's the physical aspect of it, right? When we move now to human beings, all right, or those who are of a particular tribe, we in today's society, colonialism and racism, white supremacy has created an environment where everybody just mix with everybody and sleep with everybody, right? Nature doesn't do that. Because of that, we have so many unpredictable personalities and unpredictable behaviors because a person who ideal tribal setting whereby they knew at a certain time of year when they would procreate. And in knowing when they would procreate, they know when they would actually give birth. There was predictability in understanding how that particular tribe generated the next a group of people. But then there were also situations where we used the understanding of what we're calling solar biology today, or this reality of having sex in season. We understood that you could actually carve out a particular behavior based on when the mother was born, when the father was born, and then looking four generations back. You have what's called in science, and I'm trying to make sure people can follow along based on the science that we have, right? So Mendel would have found out that in genetics operates in fours, right? Four generations. So if you want to get a white rose from a red rose, you would cross-pollinate until you'll have a red rose, a pink rose, a spotted rose, and then a white rose. Within the fourth generation, you would see the change, the extreme change, right? So genetics operates in. If you turn now to human beings, you have your parents, your grandparents, your great grandparents, on both sides. There are 14 different people, all right, and then you have two within you. So they would say a negative and a positive. In today's religion, they'd say an angel is on one shoulder and a devil is on one shoulder. So you have these 16 personalities. In Mark chapter 10, verse 9, where it says, who the Lord put together, let no man put asunder. what that was us coming together to go to a specific group of priests called the Min Priesthood. And the Min Priesthood, they were responsible for bringing couples together so that they could conceive at a specific time in order to have a child with a particular personality. So what do I mean by that? If in a particular group of people, you realize that, let's say the drummers or the people who kept the secrets of the drum, they were getting older and there weren't people, there weren't any younger drummers coming up. And they say, well, we need drummers in this tribe. We need to make sure that the people who have been giving birth to the drummers understand how they gave birth to drummers. So the male and the female would have to be brought together, and they would have to be ultimately, their blood would be examined, right? Number one, to see if they were compatible, right? This is why even in later days, you used to have to have a blood, have to have blood drawn to get a marriage certificate or a marriage license. I don't think they do it anymore, right? They didn't do it for us, right? But I know when I was a child and I learned about it, the fact that you had to have blood drawn to get a marriage license. That came from the science of making sure that people were compatible. And then once you made sure that they were compatible, then you had to make sure that they were reproducing when they were supposed to, or conceiving when they were supposed to. So we had an entire, they would refer to it as a temple, but it was an actual hospital, if you want to call it. Call it Amamisi. A place where we zoned in or focused on how people were conceived and when they would be birthed. It was called the Temple of Hathor. And this Temple of Hathor is where a couple would come, and once they found out they were compatible, then they would be told, on this particular date, you are going to conceive. They would literally go to this temple to conceive in some instances, or they would be told to do so wherever they were. And when they did that, it ensured that the type of child, the personality, the behavioral characteristics of that child would be in tune with universal law. So those drummers did what they had done for millennia. The child that they would give birth to would be a drummer. You could determine if you had a female child, a girl child, by the couple eating more foods high in iron. And you could determine if you were going to have a male child by the couple eating foods higher in zinc. So we could control whether we were having male or female.
So there's
children.
A signs on how, what type of child we produce?
Yes. Yes.
And are you saying that the characteristics of a child can be determined by the characteristics of the father and the mother?
And the grandparents and the great-grandparents.
We have a caller here. Let me engage the caller as I think about that. Mm-hmm. I know when my wife and I got married, we did blood test it in terms of...
For sickle cell and stuff?
Sickle cell, sickle cell gene. And some. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it was for retardation or some sort. But
yeah,
I know that they ask our blood type for compatibility for some sort. And again, it was one of those questions a nurse to ask. I didn't pay attention per se. But they say, oh, yes, you all can have children, something to that effect.
Yeah.
I remember the
All
the
couples
process.
Don't do it, but it does happen.
I remember the conversation. I just remember the conversation. Mm-hmm. But let me go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Again, C.A. Neary and the greatest, Uncle Sarah.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am wonderful. Listen, I've been married before, and I often used to go sit down in the corner in the bedroom or to the favorite water and oil when I used to drink and wonder about that part of the marriage vows that said, for those whom God joined together, let no man put asunder.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, man, stop me right with that, because I hear now, this 5 years later, I hear in the Bahamas that my wife in Australia, and we ain't together no more. So I was saying, man, that couldn't mean, that can't mean that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But now, I you might think I'm crazy with what I got to say, because I said it on the show before with Michelle Malcolm, that the coming together, 23 chromosomes of the man, 23 chromosomes of the woman, mm-hmm. come together. They combine themselves to make a child, and that child, no man can put asunder.
Correct. That is a part of the reality.
Man, Uncle Sarabi, your churches, I come in there, man. I throw away all them other churches. Because a lot of people don't understand that marriage vow, you know, what that means.
No, this is why it says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. It doesn't mean he is going to physically hold on to her forever. It means when they have children, the children will only have the mitochondrial DNA of the woman. Only the woman passes on the mitochondrial DNA, all right? And that mitochondrial DNA is used as the powerhouse of the cell, right? But it is also a way to determine genetics through the maternal lineage. So when they say cleave unto the wife, they were making reference to this reality of the children having the actual mitochondrial DNA of the woman. In today's society, they will say that only the man could pass on his name. That's what the Greco-Romans did. They made sure that in the paternalistic societies, we as men, we would pass on our name, but the woman couldn't pass on her name, and all of the children would carry only the man's name.
Then one more thing, mm-hmm. Uncle Zara and C.A. Nuri. You know why it got to be, you say that the Bible got some kind of stories with some kind of meaning and parables. Mm-hmm. You ever hear somebody tell a child, Jesus, you look like your ma and your ba?
Yes.
They got something for the two.
Yes, they got something for the two.
Okay, or thanks for taking my
call. Yes, definitely. Or they may even say you look like an uncle, or you may look like your great-grandmother, because the genes skip a generation.
Should we, and we'll talk from a Bohemian personality point of view, should we be concerned about the lineage of who we marry?
If we are concerned with the result. If you're not concerned, then, you know, do what you want to do. But if you are concerned with the results, that is, if you are concerned with the offspring and what you expect of that offspring, then surely you should be concerned with who you lay with and who you ultimately bind your seed with. Because that was the ultimate way that we as a people came together. When they say that Eve, and this is a whole other show, was taken from the rib of Adam, it doesn't mean that they took his rib out and made a woman out of his rib. They were doing gene splicing. Today, in scientific terms, they would say they give a woman a shot of it's called a Rogam, not Rogaine, but Rogam. It's a type of shot that ensures compatibility, especially if a woman, for example, has they have a aspect of blood type called the Rh factor. And if a woman has a Rh negative factor and the man has a Rh positive factor, then that can affect the child, mm-hmm. right? So they have to give a woman a shot so her blood doesn't attack, because the infant or the fetus has its own blood supply, right? And doesn't necessarily have the same blood type as the mother, right? But if the blood crosses into the fetus's blood, it can cause problems. So when we're reading these stories in what they're calling Genesis today, which we originally understood as the Bereshith, right? This African book of Genesis, we were literally talking about gene splicing, which is why the book is called Genesis or Genesis, whereby we understood if in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, this Adam and Eve, as they refer to them, were being created in the image and likeness of God, or in the image and likeness of these Elohim, or these Natoru Elohim. There had to have been a process to ensure that they were in, one, the image, and two, the likeness. That's the first two things that were given to this Adam and Eve, as they refer to them in Genesis. And the way that they gave them an image and a likeness was through having sex in due season. Now, having sex out of season doesn't mean necessarily that the child is going to be a bad person. I want to make that clear. Because in the story of what they're referring to as Cain and Abel, both Cain and Abel were born out of season. But unfortunately for Cain, his characteristics were unnecessary because remember, Adam and Eve had already been kicked out of the garden. They were now in a city called Adam, all right? And in this city, they now needed to grow food and they now needed to do for themselves what they would not have had to do in the garden, right? When Cain is born, now they don't tell you that they're fraternal twins. He actually has a twin that's born with him, and Abel also has a twin that's born with him, right? But in any event, Cain's characteristics, Cain's behavioral traits were more aggressive and stubborn and unnecessary for the particular land that they were in. They weren't under attack by anybody. They did not need that particular energy amongst them at that time. So that behavioral trait was considered as adverse or negative, because what ends up happening is Cain kills Abel. Abel's trait, even though he was more agreeable and he would listen and he would do what was asked of him, he didn't defend himself well. You understand? Which is why.
You think I was going to let this slide when you said fraternal twins, right? Which book in the Bible they mention Cain and Abel had fraternal twins?
In the Barashith. In the Barashith. They mention it.
Give me another name, because I ain't familiar with this Barashith.
Well, that's the actual name of the book of Genesis, right?
In the book of Genesis, in the Barashith
In the Shabaka stone that we talked about last week, right, it talks about the fact that twins were being born. This is why women have two breasts, right? Animals who have, you can tell if you look at a mammal, let me say it that way, the amount of offspring they ideally should have at one time based on the amount of nipples that they have. So on a dog, you will see a certain amount. On a goat, you will see a certain amount. On humans, you see a certain amount. You see two. So ideally, women had twins. They always had twins. But when there was a shift, again, having sex out of season and breeding with mortals, because in the Bible, it talks about the seed of Adam, and then it talks about Cain killing Abel, right? And once Abel is killed, Seth now is born, and he's a compensation. But then Seth gives birth to Enos, and the word Enos means mortal. And this mortal gene is not the same as the Adamite gene. And then you have Enos, who through his progeny, Mahalil and Methuselah and Jared, I think it is, but all the way to Enoch. When you get to Jared, right, in the offspring of Enos, the word Jared is making reference to the final or Enoshite. This was the last stage of the mortal that was being born. And then Enoch now was, his genes were being upgraded to where now the word Enoch means to be initiated. He was now being reinitiated back into the angelic schools, whereby it says, and Enoch walked with God. But they never explained to you why it says Enoch walked with God. It's because Enoch now was being upgraded genetically, like Adam and Eve were, where they actually walked with God in the garden. Enoch was now actually able to do the same thing because his genes had been upgraded, because that reality of having sex within due season had been reinstituted, and the mortal gene was no longer being born, but this divine gene was being born again.
I'm talking to Dr. Cleveland Ennius III, and we're talking having sex out of season, a religious concept. There is actually a book called The Mystery of Sex Transmutation, which tells or give details on how to have a specific type of child.
Right. We have a book too. It's called The Science and the Art of Sex, according to the Min Priesthood.
Oh, we could talk about that book.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get a quick break and we're coming back to the conversation. This is Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back.
Jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on. All you hear is for the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5. 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I'm smiling because I just see we had to notice this content has matured. No one ever read that to me, Kermit. I appreciate that, right? I also like to want to read that the Hannah Hasey Times. Let me see if I can find that. Aaron sent it to me to say, did you read that on my show? I said, no. Let me see what it is. So the Hannah Hasey Times Association is having a monthly meeting that's going to be on September 20th. At 7 p.m. at St. John's College. At 7 p.m. on September 20th at St. John's College. I want to again remind people that tonight, Kenny's Corner with Kennedy Campbell Moss is going to start tonight. It's going to be following the news, the 6 p.m. news. It's going to start at around about 6:30 tonight. And it's going to be thrilling, provocative, and adult conversations. So I definitely going to be using that preamble with Kermit read just now. I have on the show. Also, starting on September 12th, which can be Thursday, that's going to be Nailed It with Debbie Deal and Leonard Sands. That's going to be by the Contractors Association. That's Thursday. So one is Tuesday, one is Thursday. And on Sunday, it's going to be Remark with Garth Roseboro. And that's going to be on Sunday. So that's three new lineup. It's going to join the Guardian Radio lineup this week in September. September, they're adding all kind of new shows. Excellent. It's going to be a dynamic talk show radio, nonstop talk show radio from the entire week, from Monday straight to Sunday. Boom. Nonstop, something to listen to. We're talking about Sex Out of Season with Dr. Cleven Inyes III. And we're talking about sexual energy at one point in time.
So, yeah. Right? So, we were talking about the fact that this word sex can be looked at as an acronym of Sacred Energy Exchange, SEX, right? I brought up a book that was written by our Basesh, Rev Dr. AJ Varma. It's called Love, Lies, and Liberation, The Science and Art of Sex as Taught by the Men Priesthood. In the question, what is meant by the statement sex out of season or out of due season, the answer is, out of the book, I'm just reading an excerpt out of the book, an exact time was given for reproduction of your offspring so as not to have them born any month and time, any season, out of due season, so as not to create all kinds of personalities. The ancient Semu and Wabat priests, by various names, knew that when two people of wrong astrological or zodiacal sign give birth at the wrong time, the child is defected, thus resulting in most of the madness and insanity on this planet today. The very word sex is subliminally placed in the English language, the language of the world, in so many words. Thus, the sex force is promoted each day through basic conversations. Originally, the leaders of your tribes and clans told you by the stars, the alignments, the seasons, and when it was best for two people to give birth. Sex was a sacred ritual and must be made sacred again.
So sex is sacred?
It's very much sacred. It's going to bring a new life into the world. Life is sacred.
What are we doing for recreation? I wasn't planning to do for no children.
Now, let's be clear. The life doesn't only reference children. Remember I said there are energies that are being created, right? Because there's some couples who can't have children, but they may have a business together. or they may have something that is of value to them that they have built together, but that energy that they come together, that sacred energy exchange, could build a business, could build something that is very viable to the country, or they could build something very destructive.
We live in a sexual society.
Yes, we do.
Especially in this time and age in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Like everyone is so sexual in terms of their conversations, in terms of their dress and viewpoint. Like, I'm not sure if the right word is jaded, because that'd be me being judgmental.
Mm.
But definitely sex is on our minds in terms of how we interact with each other.
Right.
Is there a reason for that?
Yes.
That we have become so sexual?
Well, we live in the image and after the likeness of the beast. This beast reference in Revelation chapter 13, what they intend to do is to take away the sacredness of religion, of economics, of labor, of sex, gender, of all of these nine levels of people activity, right? If people are told to do as thou wilt, that's one of the terms within the Church of Satan that was actually given a charter in 1966 by Ronald Reagan to one Antoine LaVey. I think Marilyn Manson now is over the Church of Satan. It was out in California. But they talk about do as thou wilt. There's no need for laws. There's no, and this is why the Messiah spoke against iniquities. He said, those people who say that they know the Messiah, he said, I never knew you, you know, because you live in a lawless way of life. You live in this way of life that doesn't acknowledge universal law. So the reason why the sex force is promoted each day is so that we can have situations where there are more children born out of due season than there are due season.
Explain due season.
Due season just simply means, scientifically, based on the actual solar biological sign. So if for example, in today's society, they talk about astrology, right? They talk about a person being Pisces versus Virgo versus Sagittarius or whatever. The priests understood, and we have our own science in solar biology. We have Amun and Asaru and Tehuti, etc. They understood that two people had to be of a particular solar biological sign, because these signs are based on the time that you were born. There were certain energies that were actually more present, whether they were celestial energies or they were earth energy. So if you were born in the summer, there's a certain amount of elements. There's certain elements and certain energies that are more prevalent in the summer than there are in the winter.
So is it possible to be unbalanced, the world to be unbalanced with a particular type of energy?
Yes. This is why the first commandment in Genesis, they said, be fruitful and multiply. You were supposed to multiply this image and likeness of God, whereby you had more balanced people on the planet than unbalanced people. Because what the devil or Satan or Lucifer or these adverse forces, the beast, what they want is for the adverse forces to dominate. They want people in a position where they are unbalanced. And so they rule the world by their sorceries. When you go to the book of Revelation 18, I think it's verse 23, and it talks about these sorceries, the word sorcery is the word pharmacia. Okay? And so they want to make us drug addicts. They want us to constantly be using drugs to try to find our balancing point, when in truth, we have rituals and rites and a way of life that already did it for us.
There are some people who said that the tribes, the different races, should not mix.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any truth into that in terms of unbalance? Explain that.
Well, remember, I made reference to it. I think the best way for people to understand it in these type of conversations is looking at horses and dogs, all right? If you have a triple crown winner in horse racing and you want to produce more triple crown winners, you cannot breed that horse with any kind of horse, because the genes of any kind of horse is going to compromise the bloodline, I mean the genome of the horses that win the triple crown, right? If you have a dog that you're trying to breed to be a guard dog and you want those particular characteristics, you have to make sure that the genes of both the female and the male dog are compatible so that the offspring are able to continue on with the same behavioral characteristics. It's no different with people.
wouldn't that become racism or racist if I say I only want my child to be with black people or Asian people or white people?
It wouldn't be bigoted. It would be racist insofar as a person who understands the piano is a pianist, a person who understands pharmaceuticals is a pharmacist. So if you are one who studies the races and you understand the races and you say, I want my child to have these particular characteristics, if we're using the term racist in that respect, then yeah. And that's not a bad type of racism. There is what's called right racism, which means each group of people should be able to do what's best for themselves and their tribe and their nation and their empires.
I mean, before we go, and we have the last 2 minutes, mm-hmm. right? Should there be, for married people, for groups of people, like Bahamians, Jamaicans, whatever the groups of people are, should they be conscientious in terms of who they bond with?
They should be conscientious. However, we understand that that's not always going to be the case. So we always advocate to those people who want to know more and want to do more to, you know, come and ask questions and learn more from the Holy Coptic Church.
Yes. That has been Uncle Sarad, Dr. Cleveland Ineas III. I got to ask the Coptic Church more about this having sex over the season.
We could do some more next week.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, have a wonderful day.
Namaste.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.